Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording live from the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair, and we're going to be talking about all aspects of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and a chance for us to talk about what's being done and what help is available for our service members and their families. Suicide is indeed a societal problem. In addition to local, state, and federal resources available to all citizens regarding suicide prevention, in the Minnesota National Guard, we have placed a special emphasis on suicide prevention education within our ranks. Our comprehensive soldier and family fitness program teaches life skills to service members and their families. Our trainers are helping service members cope and deal with life issues in a healthy and beneficial manner, and implementing resilience training throughout the force. We also have suicide intervention officers spread throughout our ranks who receive special training to respond to service members in crisis. They help identify at-risk behaviors and act as the first line of defense for service members who might be contemplating suicide. Developing resilient National Guardsmen requires a comprehensive and collaborative approach. We must encourage our soldiers and airmen and their families to develop their coping skills and come forward and seek assistance when things become more than they can handle. There is no shame in seeking help.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me today to be my co-host for this show is Mike McElhenney, who was appointed Chief of Staff for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in January 2016. Prior to this position, Mike served as the Legislative Director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and in his position, he provides overall administration on operations while serving as a liaison to internal and external contacts. In this position, he brings unity between the state veterans homes and programs and services divisions, two very different but equally important functions. Mike oversees administrative functions of auditing, internal controls, communications, finance, human resources, legal, legislative affairs, and policy. He also serves as the main agency liaison to Minnesota IT for technology resources. Mike, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks. Good to be with you again, Tom.
Mike, sounds like your life got a lot busier when you got appointed Chief of Staff for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yeah, certainly a little more complicated, that's for certain.
Now, last time you joined us, you were the Legislative Director, and I think Ben Johnson took over that position. Can you tell us, that's an awful lot of description on what you have to do as Chief of Staff. How did this all come about?
Well, Tom, frankly, I think as we've been dealing with the issues post-war as the Department of Veterans Affairs, you know, there's many new issues out there that our veterans are dealing with. So the agency has had to expand and contract to deal with those issues. And in that process, the organizational structure has had to shift a little bit. So really the Chief of Staff position was created just to kind of synchronize the efforts of the agency.
And Mike, in case some of the audience aren't familiar with you, you've been on the show several times. And can you tell us just briefly a little bit about your military career?
Certainly, Tom. Well, I, like many folks, joined the military right out of high school. I went into the infantry. I served in 3rd Infantry Division for about 4.5 years and then was looking for something a little bit more and eventually went to Special Forces selection at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and eventually made it to a team in 5th Special Forces Group and served most of my time there. I was injured shortly after infiltrating Afghanistan right at the beginning of Operation Enduring Freedom. Returned home, healed, went through the process of healing, et cetera, but found myself in Minnesota. My wife actually kind of is the one that sparked the move to Minnesota with the Mayo Clinic and was able to serve out my last few years working with the Minnesota National Guard while still serving in 5th Special Forces Group at a time when they were serving in the longest deployment that the units had served over in Iraq. So it was really a great career. I served 21 years, and, you know, it's a story like many others. We were called to duty, we did our time, and that's pretty much it.
And Mike, how many years have you been with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs now?
I'm working on my 6th year now, Tom.
And from what I understand, you're having a pretty good time over there and doing some great work.
Well, the commissioners kept me around, so I think that's a pretty good sign. So yeah, we're doing a lot for the veterans. I think we've had some great momentum over the years, and actually it's been, frankly, fairly easy. We've got great support from the community, from the veteran service organizations, the county veteran service officers, the businesses in Minnesota. And, you know, I just came from a state veterans affairs national convention, and we sat for about a week listening to a lot of what the states are doing and the programs that they're developing and some of the issues they're undergoing. And the good news is Minnesota is way ahead of the curve. A lot of things these states are doing, it was evident that they were adopting those from Minnesota. Maybe not exactly Minnesota's programs, but certainly we're ahead of the game. And really it comes down to a spectacular collaborative effort. Again, like I said, the communities, the businesses, the service organizations, the federal VA, the state VA, support from the governor's office on down. It's been easier than one would think.
We're speaking with Mike McElhenney, Chief of Staff for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. And while we're in here putting on the show, our military producers out there getting pictures with the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. How about that, Mike? He's doing tough duty here at the fair, isn't he?
Absolutely. I'm in the wrong place, Tom.
We got you working when you need to be outside. Mike, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is kind of divided into two sections, and we're going to have your some of your folks on to talk about that. But you've got programs and services, and then you've got the veterans' homes. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yeah, certainly. As you said, it's two different divisions. Within programs and services, I won't steal Deputy Commissioner Lindsay's thunder, but there's a lot of programs and services that the agency offers, as well as on the healthcare division. We have five state veterans' homes located in Laverne, Minneapolis, Hastings, Silver Bay, and Fergus Falls, and they provide a variety of services from long-term skilled nursing care, adult daycare, domiciliary care. Doug, our new Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services, Deputy Commissioner Doug Hughes, he'll be talking about that in a few minutes. But it is a pretty diverse set of skills that we have within the agency and services and programs that we offer.
And Mike, we'll have Brad Lindsay on in the second segment and Doug Hughes in the third segment so we can dive in a little bit deeper on programs and services in the veterans' homes. But we're joined right now by Annette Kuiper, who is the lady that's primarily responsible for putting together the Yellow Ribbon Program. Annette, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here.
Can you tell us what was going on out here at the Military Appreciation Day at the fair this morning?
Well, the Minnesota State Fair has been so great in military appreciation for Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is our theme this year, coordinating support through communities, counties, and companies throughout the state in support of service members, veterans, and military families.
And you brought someone with you today that represents a company that's been a great sponsor.
Yes. Yeah, so our companies make commitments in the area of veteran recruiting, hiring, and retaining, military-connected employee support, and military-connected community support. And Mall of America is sponsoring Carousel Park today, where we have several Yellow Ribbon companies that are sharing their best practices. So today, I have Doug Reynolds with me today to talk about all the great things that are happening at the Mall of America.
Doug, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be here, as
Doug,
always.
Can you tell us, Doug, how did Mall of America get involved with the Military Appreciation Day at the fair? I think the answer is sitting right next to you. It's Annette Kuiper.
It is. Annette showed up and strong-armed us, told us if we didn't do it, we were going to be in trouble, and she was going to hold us accountable. Annette showed up, held us accountable, said if we didn't do it, we were going to be in trouble. So after that, you know, it was with her goodwill and ambassadorship, we stepped forward and said, yeah, we can do this. We host over 300 year events a year at the mall, so this is just another event for us. But it's a chance to get out in the community and work with the veterans more directly, and we like that.
Doug, we met you on Minnesota Military Radio, I think, sometime last year and talked about Mall of America becoming a Yellow Ribbon company. And since that that time, we've been in contact a little bit. You've supported a number of other organizations, such as the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Can you tell us what all is the Mall of America involved in as a Yellow Ribbon company?
Sure. Within the company itself and very directly, we do things for veterans like help them write resumes. We do a service that a lot of people wouldn't think of. We translate resumes. So when somebody hands you a resume and it's full of military jargon, we can say, all right, that may not mean anything to a civilian employer, but here's what you can write instead. We help them with functions like that. When a veteran applies for a job at Mall of America, they're automatically given an interview. We get thousands of applications a year. Some get interviews, some don't. But if you're a veteran, you apply there, automatically you will get an interview.
Do you know how many veterans work there?
Well, I know within my department I have 200 employees, and about a third of my employees are veterans, either currently serving or formerly.
I'll bet you don't have any trouble getting them to work on time, do you?
I don't at all. They know about accountability. They know what the standards of good judgment are. And I just love hiring veterans. I absolutely love hiring veterans.
And are there a lot of Mall of America people out here at the Military Appreciation Day at the fair today?
There are. We have at least 50 of them working out here today.
And what all are they up to?
We're doing lots of things. We're promoting some of the different things we do, encouraging other businesses to sign up to be members of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. We're giving out little free trinket items, cell phone accessories, that kind of thing. We even have 15 canines at the mall from the mall that are here today just to let the families come by, give them a good pet, and relax and see them.
Mike, you've been out walking around the fair this morning. There's a lot of Yellow Ribbon companies out here today, aren't there?
There are a ton, Tom, and glad Annette's here with us because, again, the collaboration that this state has, the Yellow Ribbon Network just kind of really sets that off and sets us apart from a lot of states. So, again, we're getting it done right here in Minnesota.
Minnesota leading the way, just like Governor Dayton told us last week. Doug, we've just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for us?
Yeah, I do. You know, I want to thank Annette and the Mall of America and the others also. When we took that Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Challenge, it gave me a chance to look at the 20 years that I put in and say, all right, what if during that time I had been employed by this company? What would I have liked to have seen? And they listened to what we had to say. Things like we pay our veterans when they're gone for their 2 weeks of annual training. You know, it's just, I love ideas like that. You know, it's nice to be able to step up and give back to families. We shovel sidewalks, we rake leaves, we do that kinds of things, those kinds of things for veterans' families, and it makes you feel good.
Mike, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. Annette, thanks for bringing him in and all the Yellow Ribbon companies out here at Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair. Mike, we got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Brad Lindsay, and we're going to talk about programs and services at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. At today's show, we're recording from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair, and we're talking about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. My co-host is Mike McElhenney, who is Chief of Staff for the MDVA. And Mike, you brought along your head or your Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services. Do you want to introduce him?
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. Today we have with us Deputy Commissioner Brad Lindsay. He's the Deputy Commissioner of our Programs and Services. And I'll let him tell you a little bit about what he does and his history.
Brad, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Thanks, Mike.
You've been here enough times now. I think you're probably comfortable behind the mic, aren't you?
Yeah, I can get by, you bet.
All right. And you've been out here. Have you been out here more than just today? Does MDVA have a booth out here?
Absolutely. Just so everyone knows, we had a little move this year. For probably at least 15 years, we've been over at the end of the 4-H building. This year, we were moved to inside the grandstand, so down on the first floor, kind of in the center. So we still are here. And we still are providing information on benefits and services, but we are in a new location. Today, being Military Appreciation Day, of course, we also are up in the area with all of the tents with the military appreciation folks. So we're in the two locations today, but on all our normal days of the fair, we'll just be in the bottom of the grandstand.
Brad, we were up there earlier today a couple of times in that area where the tents are and all those folks are out here for Military Appreciation Day. Looked like it was pretty busy over there.
Yeah, I would say we got a really good representation today. I see an awful lot of veterans walking around with their veteran regalia on, their hats and T-shirts and the whole works, letting everybody know who we are and we're on site.
Are you getting some pretty good questions? People need some help?
Absolutely. It's, you know, one good thing with the fair is it's not your normal place. You know, you go to some typical veterans venues and you see the same people over and over when you come to the fair. We hope to find those who don't normally come to those type of things. So trying to do a little outreach to locate those guys and gals who don't know what's out there or what they're missing.
Brad, can you tell me? Now, you're the permanent deputy commissioner now. Is that correct?
That is correct. I was interim deputy commissioner for about a year. And like Mike said earlier, the commissioner, I guess I did a good enough job. He decided to keep me around.
And then he created a chief of staff to watch after you.
Exactly.
How's that working?
Pretty good. Me and Mike, we've worked pretty closely together when he was the legislative director and I was the senior director of programs and services. So we've got a good working relationship. Both couple Army guys.
Yeah, Tom, we refer to Brad as a good egg. You know, but I do want to go back to one thing Brad mentioned about the outreach that we're providing and the booths that we have here today at the fair. And so that everyone's aware, I mean, this veterans programs and services are not just a one-time, one-stop situation. And what I mean by that is, just want to remind everyone, every year things evolve. Federal laws change, state laws change, new programs are developed. Sometimes programs go away that are no longer needed or antiquated. So it's very important for veterans out there to really go see their county veteran service offices, stop into our office, read our updates on our website that MDVA provides, as well as the federal VA, and all the organizations actually support veterans. I mean, things are changing all the time. So it's really important to keep current on what's going on. And, you know, if there's a point in time when maybe we didn't have what you were looking for or a service provided, and there's been some trends out there that have changed and those have been addressed, it's a good idea to come back in and circle back around with us to see if there's something out there for you now.
And Brad, your side of the house is programs and services. That entails a lot of different things. Can you kind of run through some of those for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I would just add a little to Mike's point there, which is a very good one, is that, you know, especially a veteran who has, service-related disabilities aren't often static. So just because you get a rating for a disability at some point in your life doesn't mean that condition doesn't get worse and you should go back and have that looked at again. There may be an increase coming to you. So that's one of our major things in programs and services. We operate what we call our claims divisions, both in St. Paul and Fargo. Generally, individual starts on the ground with their county veteran service officer who initiates the claims. Our offices in Fargo and St. Paul, then act as the middleman between the VA and the County Veteran Service Officer in making sure that everything's done properly by the VA. And they're also the ones that will represent the veteran if it has to go to appeal before the VA or any other board. So
the methodology there that we've talked about a lot is the first stop for anything veterans is the County Veteran Service Officer, and they can initiate a claim and put it in. And then if you need somebody to help you with that claim, to help document it or further it, you can go to one of the veteran service organizations, VVA, American Legion, VFW. They've all got advocates to help.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lots of resources in place, and none of them cost you a dime. Those are all free services provided by the service organizations and by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. So service that everyone has earned, so definitely.
And Brad, there's also some tribal veteran service officers out there.
Absolutely. We have two different staff, our outreach and our tribal veteran service officers, are what we call our field services division. Those are folks that we try to locate out in the communities, and they act as our rapid response force. We have a veteran that, the CVSO can't necessarily get out to their house, and they're housebound, things like that. We can send someone right to your door to provide assistance if that's necessary, and we're glad to do that. The tribal veteran service officers, they fill a little bit of a niche there. Your Native American veterans have a much higher rate of service than other entities, so it's definitely good to get out and make sure that they're getting all they're receiving or entitled to receive. So
we're speaking with Mike McElhenney and Brad Lindsay from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs from the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair on Minnesota Military Radio. And Brad, I wanted to ask you, I think Dave Swantek works for you too, doesn't he?
He does. We have two cemeteries now. Just this past Memorial Day, we had a grand opening of our veteran cemetery down in Preston, Minnesota. We have had the one up in Little Falls for a little over 20 years now. And Dave Swantek is what we call our senior administrator. So he was the supervisor, the administrator of Little Falls, and now he's taken over the management of both of those. And he's working on our future construction projects. The legislature allowed us in 2008, I believe it was, permission to construct a total of four cemeteries within the state. We have two of them done, and we have one that we should be announcing the federal grant on here any day. And then we will have one more after that. That's in northeast Minnesota, and we'll have another one down in southwest Minnesota at some point. I think within a five-year period, we should have all four of those completed and operating.
And Brad, you also oversee the Women Veterans Programs and the Gold Star Family Program.
Right. We have a wonderful staff member. Her name's Ashley Langanier. She came from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs and specialized in women veterans claims there. We've got her doing the same with us. Women veterans, a lot of military sexual trauma type claims and cases. She will handle those specifically for us. Those get special handling also through the federal VA, so she walks those through and puts those together. She also helps our Gold Star families. We have regular events now for both the women veterans and the Gold Star families. We're trying to do a new thing with some regional events. So we're looking at four regional events per year for each of those different groups, just to, once again, get the word out, get out there with what's available to them, and to ensure that the supports are in place that those folks need to be successful.
And Brad, you also understand you have a grant to counties program as well.
Right. For many years, the state of Minnesota has given grants to county veteran service officers to assist them with their operations. A lot of the stuff that they can't necessarily afford, or their counties don't have the extra money to spend advertising, you may have seen out there some of these billboards for specific county veteran service officers, just trying to get the word out and getting people in the door, just like we're doing here at the fair. The biggest piece of it is, veterans are pretty independent folks and don't like to ask for help a lot, but the resources are there, and we want to keep that in their mind that they're available and there's someone who can help them.
And Mike, I think in the last year, there was a significant update to your website for the MDVA, wasn't there?
Yes, there was, Tom. There's always changes. Like I said, you always have to kind of keep an eye on things. Our communications department saw a need to sort of rearrange some of the information on the website, but it's all still there. We think it's a little bit more user-friendly than it was in the past, but that's just one of the things that we're constantly updating. And Brad had mentioned, as you brought up, Tom, we talked about the reason it's important to come see us, come see the county veteran service officers on a periodic basis is because of these changes. The cemeteries, one of the things here in Minnesota, our veteran population is aging. We've got over 175,000 veterans in the state that are aged 65 or older. So that's a big deal, and that's something we've seen coming for years. So we're working to address the need relative to cemeteries. We've seen, you know, a much larger woman veteran population, or women in the military, has gotten much stronger over the past decade and a half or two decades. So they're serving at a higher rate. So we're providing services specifically for them and evolving to meet their needs. So these are the things that we're constantly dealing with and constantly kind of working inside the agency to organize ourselves to best meet those needs.
So you're trying to tell me that for me and my Vietnam buddies, you're getting ready to change the services you're offering to us as we get a little bit older, Mike.
Well, and I don't mean to be that morbid, but what I am saying, Tom, is we do have to evolve as to meet the population's need. And so, you know, I say 369,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota. Those are veterans that are actually involved or receiving some kind of service. There's probably a bunch more out there that haven't even enrolled in the VA, haven't gone to a county veteran service officer, haven't come to see us or at our office. So there's probably a lot more, and we know about that, and there is a factor for that. But there are just needs that are out there and directions that we have to go, and that's what we intend to do.
And Brad, you're here to help all the veterans, not just the ones that lost an arm or a leg or were wounded.
Absolutely.
But all
absolutely. And that's an important point. You know, a lot of folks don't understand that, you know, you don't have to be a combat veteran to be a veteran. You could have been, you know, served on active duty and been diagnosed with high blood pressure, and that's a service-connectable condition now that you can get a disability for. So it doesn't have to be combat-related. You could be a reservist or National Guard who was hurt on a drill weekend. Those things all are service-connectable, and we'll assist any of those folks.
Brad, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners about programs and services at the MDVA?
Just like we said, Tom, you know, we're out there. We're trying to find you. Help us find you and help us help you. We want to give out anything you're entitled to and make sure you get what you've earned for your service.
Brad, thanks for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Mike.
This is Brad Lindsay from the Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Mike McElhenney and I will be back in a moment, and we're going to meet the other deputy commissioner in charge of the homes of Minnesota and veterans health care on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is Prudential Insurance. With operations across the globe, Prudential Insurance provides people and businesses with their insurance and financial planning needs. For the past 5 years, Prudential has been awarded as a top military employer from GI Jobs magazine. This organization meets the highest standards in veteran hiring practices, military community support initiatives, and their creation of a military-friendly workplace. All leaders are committed to ensuring that those who have served our country and their family members feel honored and supported everywhere Prudential has a presence across the nation and beyond. Prudential Insurance has been a Yellow Ribbon company since June of 2013 and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In today's show, we're recording from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair, and we've been talking about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs with Chief of Staff Mike McElhenney. And Mike, programs and services sounds like they've got a lot of things to take care of. That was pretty interesting with Brad.
Yeah, they do, Tom. They've got a lot going on throughout the state, both in the metro area and the greater Minnesota area. We've got folks across the state, and Brad's really got a lot to manage any given day.
And on the other side of the house, we've got the veterans' homes, and you've got another deputy commissioner here to introduce.
We do, Tom, and I'm proud to introduce Douglas Hughes. He's the Deputy Commissioner of Veterans Healthcare Division, or the Division of Healthcare within our agency. And, you know, really, really lucky and happy to have Doug. He comes to us with a diverse background in the healthcare industry. And, of course, like all deputies and in the past, he is a veteran himself. And I'm happy to kind of toot the horn a little bit about wearing the Green Beret at one point in time.
Doug, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I understand you've got a little military background with Mike. Can you tell us a little about that?
Sure. I have a picture in my office from my first Special Forces A team out of 10th Group at Fort Devens, Massachusetts. And Mike came in my office, and he recognized someone in the picture. At the time, he was a staff sergeant, Hoopy Hester Qualls. And Mike said that that was one of his sergeant majors in 5th Group. So I wasn't sure if that meant that I was old or what, but we have that connection then as well. When I was held various positions at the 18 Delta School on Fort Bragg, his team sergeant from Afghanistan actually was a senior instructor when I was at the school as well.
So it must feel a little pretty comfortable coming back and working with Mike at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Well, you know, I've been out of Special Forces for a long time, but there is a bond. I mean, that's who my friends are that I still talk to. You know, I have a friend and my former team leader in Tampa and another in D.C. So it's a close relationship.
So, Doug, can you give us a little background on the five state veterans homes here in Minnesota?
Sure. There's five state veterans homes, and there's two types of skills that we provide. One is the skilled nursing facility, and the other is board and care. So it's not skilled, but it does provide the veterans with some programs and services that help them transition, hopefully, back into the community. The five locations are in Silver Bay, Minnesota, Fergus Falls, Minnesota, Laverne, Hastings, and Minneapolis. The facility in Hastings is strictly a board and care or the domiciliary, and on the Minneapolis campus, we have both, the domiciliary and skilled nursing.
So I understand also on the Minneapolis campus, there's something that's almost unique. There's only one or two of them in the nation, and that's a veterans adult daycare.
Yes, that is true, and I'd really like to plug that because we, you know, I work for the VA, on the federal side, and they have a waiting list for their adult day, and currently we do not. And so I'd like to give a little information. We have openings, so if you would like to call Ann at the Adult Day Center at 612-548-5900, if you would like some more information, she can provide that for you.
And we were lucky enough to have Ann on the show last year, and she told us all about the Adult Day Center out there. And if our listeners go to Minnesota Military Radio and put that in the search device, they can listen to that interview. And what a delightful lady. And she told me she had a reservation for me already, but I told her, can we hold that off for a few years?
Well, that's what I say. I might be looking at my future residence here at the Minnesota State Vets Home. So,
and that's available to, of course, any of the veterans. But sounded like it was pretty handy place if a family member has to, a caregiver needs to go out and actually go to a doctor's appointment or go shopping or get their hair done. They can call out there and they can make a reservation and drop off their veteran. And there's all kinds of things that are going to happen and a lot of good food, I understand.
Correct. They actually do have breakfast and lunch, and the VA program doesn't offer that, but we do. And there's an extremely convenient drop-off, all the lifts and everything needed, elevator. It's really a nice place in an old historical building on the Minneapolis campus.
And I think, Mike, aren't you coming up on some kind of an event out there next month? You know that? Maybe Doug does. Is there like the one-year anniversary? Is that coming up?
It's probably a little bit more than that.
We'll have to ask Beth because I think she said there's some special event coming up out there that perhaps we can cover. But
Tom. Well, actually, I'd say there's a lot of events that occur out there. We are coming up on kind of a 10-year anniversary of some changes that were enacted back in 2008, where the governor at the time put the veterans' homes back under the purview of MDVA, and that's what that merger essentially made us one large agency. So we're almost a decade out from that change or merger. There's always something going on out there, though. But I would like to go back to you mentioned the good food at the Adult Day Center, and I do have to give kudos to Ann because there's always the best chocolate chip cookies there for these veterans when they show up. So, you know, we try to get over there and inspect the facility as often as possible.
Cheesecake's not bad there either.
Okay, we've established there's great chow out at the Adult Daycare Center. We're speaking with Mike McElhenney and Douglas Hughes from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair on Minnesota Military Radio. Mike, I wanted to ask you, a couple of years ago, it seems like they passed phase three of the construction project out at the Minneapolis campus. Is that nearing completion?
Well, Tom, it's not quite nearing completion. I will tell you they have the foundation up of the third phase, which is going to be what we used to call or refer to as Building 17 North. So we are on the final phase of a long-term strategy to renovate the buildings out there. Like I said, we look out into the future and try to realize the services that are going to be needed and the populations that we're going to address. And, you know, those buildings, some of the state veterans' homes have been around the earliest since 1887, and they have a long history. So we try to keep these facilities updated and upgraded to meet the needs, the new medical standards. Those are always changing, just like, you know, any law or the laws relating to the VA. So we do our best, and we're able to garner, you know, a lot of support from the legislature, you know, bipartisan subject veterans are, the governors, whoever's in charge. I mean, everybody does their part to ensure that those who served us are served well when they get home.
Now, Mike, is the Minneapolis campus still served by only one entrance? Is the bridge is closed? Did we make any progress on that in the legislature last year?
Well, Tom, sorry to report, no. There is only one exit right now. We do have a historic truss bridge there that's been shut down for quite some time. And I will tell you, we do worry quite often about, you know, if something were to come up, an emergency of some sort, when there's, you know, the Minneapolis campus sits right next to a large park, and there are events out there oftentimes on the weekends. And so there's a lot of congestion. And unfortunately, we are like many agencies that were, you know, hoping for a bonding bill that might provide some maintenance funds this year that just didn't happen. So that's something we'd be asking for, I think, next year. Again, it's just keep the place in good working order. But that bridge really is critical. It's the shortest route to the VA hospital. A lot of our veterans receive, acute services that we can't provide at the home across the street at the VA. A lot of the domiciliary residents would use that bridge for foot traffic to get over to the, trains, et cetera. So it's what we would refer to as a strategic terrain on our campus.
So that'll be an ask for into the next legislative session until you get that done. Doug, I wanted to ask you a little bit about, imagine you're always looking for good employees, and you couldn't operate without a lot of volunteers.
No, we have both. We have, if you've ever been on the campus in Minneapolis, and I've only been to Fergus Falls besides Minneapolis, but you will see activities by volunteers all the time. I was really surprised at how many activities there are on the weekends and on the weekdays. And as far as employees, we're really right now looking for a lot of new employees, specifically health service or human service technicians, otherwise known as certified nursing assistants. We're also looking for LPNs and a lot of other positions. And if you just Google Minnesota State Jobs, it'll take you right to where you need to look for a job, and just go down to Minnesota Veterans Department.
Doug, I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio, and I wish you a lot of luck taking care of those veterans' homes. And Mike, what's the future hold for those homes? Any big obstacles coming up?
Well, Tom, there's always obstacles, but our intention is to provide state-of-the-art health care for our veterans in the future and the current veterans we're serving now. Again, there's about 369,000 veterans in the state. Many are aging. And we understand that, these services that we provide are very valuable to the veterans and the families. And so whatever it takes and whatever support we can garner, we just want to make sure that those veterans homes are in top-notch condition, and we have the employees and the skills necessary to provide our veterans the services that they've earned and that they deserve.
Mike, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk with the DAV State Commander on Minnesota Military Radio from the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We are recording live from the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair today, and we've been talking about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs with the Chief of Staff, Mike McElhenney. And Mike, there's a lot of veteran service organizations in Minnesota, and the commissioner's been on a number of times before and told us that he's got kind of an informal board of directors, which is called the Commander's Task Force. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. The Commander's Task Force consists of the 9 largest veteran service organizations in the state. I won't name them all, but I can tell you that they have been around a lot longer than we have, so they know this veteran business better than us. And so realizing that, the commissioner does put a lot of value into what the veteran service organizations have to say, and they are a very, very important partner in dealing with all the veterans' issues. They've got national offices. They're spread across the country, not just Minnesota, and they've got their ear to the ground, and great organizations to be a part of. I'm a part of several myself, and they provide a plethora of services. Brad talked about claims, Deputy Commissioner, in our programs and services branch, but the veteran service organizations have been doing that a lot longer than we have. So they are an exceptional partner.
And in your former position as legislative director, they were a key when you were going up to the Capitol to talk about veterans issues, because you represented all the members of all those veteran service organizations up there on Veterans Day on the Hill.
We absolutely did. And there's such value in having what we call the hats in the room when we're telling the legislatures, helping educate them on various veterans issues. They're always raring and ready to get up and tell a story and inform just anyone how it really is. And they do a great job of that. And again, we can't thank them enough for the support they give to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, as well as the Federal Veterans Administration. The County Veterans Service Officers depend on them a lot, so they're really kind of corny, but they're our big brother that we lean on heavily, Tom.
And we've got a couple of special guests in the show to help wrap up this show from Minnesota, or Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair, and it's the commander of DAV, Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, Mick Aguirre. Mick, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be here with you and Mike on this program.
And he's got his adjutant, Stephan Whitehead, with him, and we'll talk to Stephan in a little while, but Mick, your DAV in Minnesota does a lot of work, and one of the big items that I've always been fascinated with is that you find funds and provide vans so that our veterans can get back and forth to their medical appointment.
That's correct, Tom. We try to buy 5 new vans each year, and we've done that the last 3 years. We have 74 volunteer drivers throughout the state, and they provided 1.7 million miles in transportation for taking veterans from their home to their VA medical appointments last year. And we were given a special award from our national organization for being that number one in the United States for having that many miles.
Good work, Mick. Glad to hear it. Each year you put more vans into place, and you're expanding your coverage. I understand you're up into the Arrowhead territory, and you're always looking for drivers. You provide the vans, but all your drivers are volunteer, aren't they?
Right, Tom. The vans are the easiest part of the program. It's getting the volunteer drivers that volunteer 1 or 2 days a week to have the veterans call up and say they have to make an appointment on a certain day and a certain time and a certain location. So we're always looking for men or women, veterans, non-veterans, to help drive the vans. There's certain qualifications you have to take care of. I mean, you got to be a driver's license, pass a physical and a background check, but it's not that much to overcome. And we welcome all anybody to be interested, and just contact a DAV member or your county service veterans officer. And we're looking forward to getting more people in that area.
So for all our listeners out there, if you've got some spare time and you've got a good driving record and you're of good health, if you want to volunteer and drive your fellow veterans or other veterans back and forth to their medical appointments, you can go to the website, which is davmn.org, and there's plenty of information on there. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct, Tom. I appreciate that. That's the one that we'd like the people to use, and you can find all kinds of information on our website.
It's one of many programs, and one of the things that we want to talk about a little bit is you've got some programs coming up this fall, some hunting and fishing coming up up at Camp Ripley, and those programs are supported by other veteran service organizations, aren't they?
That's correct. We go in with the American Legion and the VFW and any other organization to help participate, but those are the three main ones, the DAV, American Legion, and the VFW. And we sponsor all kinds of different activities up there at Camp Ripley, mostly hunting and fishing. And we're looking to expand in different areas just to help the veterans get outside and enjoy the state weather.
Thanks, Commander. We're talking to Mike McElhenney from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Commander of Minnesota DAV, Commander Aguirre, on Thanks. Minnesota Military Radio for Military Appreciation Day at the fair. And, Mike, one of the common threads that I'm seeing here, both at MDVA and at the van programs, is volunteers.
Oh, absolutely, Tom. You know, I've said it once, I'll say it again. We can't do everything at the state level or at the governmental level that needs to be done. You know, Minnesota has outstanding volunteer support, not only in the veteran service organizations. We have volunteers out at our veterans' homes, and just about every veteran event, you'll find some volunteers. I mean, we've got great family support, but you know, it's pretty amazing the amount of miles that the DAV puts in to get these veterans to their appointments. You know, I don't know how we would handle that situation if we didn't have the DAV and the volunteers that they bring to the table.
Well, they're doing a great job, and joining us now is the adjutant from DAV Minnesota, Stephan Whitehead. Stephan, welcome back.
Thanks, Tom.
Stephan, you want to talk? We've got a couple new programs coming up, some shooting events this year.
Yeah, Tom, we do. And actually, I'm really excited about the opportunity that we're doing this for the first time. Give it a shot. And that's a trap shoot that's going to be taking place on September 27th. And the DAV has partnered with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. And actually, you're going to look at trying to get some people out there. It's open to everybody in the public, not just veterans, but the general public, and do a little fundraising for both of our great organizations, and have a good time.
Oh, Stephan, you and I have been talking about this for a year or two, but we finally figured out an event where we could help both pay for those vans and to provide emergency financial support for our Minnesota military families. And we're looking forward to that partnership with you at Wild Wings, and hoping we can fill that up. And also the MMFF is partnering with VVA 290 up in St. Cloud to do another one up that way.
It's a great event, Tom. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And the VVA uses a lot of their money to help support your fall events, too.
That's right.
So So how are you doing? We've got the fall hunting events and some fishing coming up.
Well, we got the fall hunting, the trap shoot, and then we also have our deer hunt coming on that Commander was just talking about up at Camp Ripley. That's going to be taking place that very first week of October. Those interested, you should go to, like Commander said, go to our website. It's actually October 5th through the 7th up at Camp Ripley, and it's open to all veterans. And we really encourage any veteran that's interested in participating to apply. Veterans in general can apply. It doesn't have to be a disabled veteran. We're trying to get more veterans involved in the outdoors. So please go to the website, davmn.org, and apply for that event. And then we also got some fishing events coming up as well here in September and October as well.
So all of those events are on the website, davmn.org?
And that is correct, Tom.
Stefan, you and Commander Mick Aguirre are doing a great job. Keep up the good work, Mike.
Yeah, and Tom, I'd just like to highlight the fact that I have had the pleasure to take part in some of these veteran hunts and fishing events and outdoor activities, and I got to tell you, they've got some great guides. They've got some professionals out there, in many cases, hosting these events and taking the veterans out. So, you know, it's one thing to get out and do it. It's another thing to be out there with professionals that really know what they're doing and can really take you to the game or put you on the spot with the fish. And, you know, I, like many veterans in the state of Minnesota, have some sort of innate issue with the outdoors. And it really is a great time to heal. It's a great time to network. It's a great time to get out and see the state if you haven't been out in a while. And the DAV Outdoors just does a great job bringing all that Minnesota has to offer to the veterans, and it's really, really a good deal.
And real important to get those veterans and those disabled veterans out of the house and out in the fresh air and back feeling like they're part of the great outdoors here in Minnesota. Mike, you just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts about the MDVA? You're a busy place over there.
Yeah, it's a busy place. We continue to move forward. Like I said earlier on, the commissioner finds a lot of value in hearing from the veterans themselves around the state. He puts a lot of value into the individual veterans and their experiences. We depend on the support from our county veteran service offices, our veteran service organizations, the federal VA, and it's just really a big partnership. I mean, it's a team effort. The businesses bring things to the table, the volunteers, the various organizations, profit, for-profit, non-profit, governmental entities, and collectively, we're doing a pretty good job. We've got some things that are trending downward, and I don't have time to go into that, but life is improving. At least the numbers are showing that. So we're feeling pretty good here in Minnesota and at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and just want to thank everyone for their ongoing support.
Mike, thanks for joining me as a co-host today on this show about the MDVA. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us today, Doug Reynolds, Annette Kuiper, Brad Lindsay, Doug Hughes, Mick Aguirre, Stephan Whitehead, Commissioner Larry Shelto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the 13th PSYOP's participation in the upcoming Medal of Honor convention and hear about the book Mile in My Shoes. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota MilitaryRadio.com.